Right, we're going to do a little bit of living by the book in here. I'm going to take you to one of your favorite scriptures. I'm going to show you that it might not mean what you thought it meant all of these years that you've been quoting it. But that's a good thing. Let me start off with this, and I want to say this, and I'm going to get it out of my notes so that we can understand what's going on when we're reading the word. The Bible speaks a lot about perfection, and I just want to give you this at first. It speaks a lot about perfection. Now, we use the word perfect terribly wrong in our everyday conversation. Ain't nobody perfect. Can't nobody be perfect. That all those statements are doing are giving you an excuse to be mediocre. Every time you say that foolishness, or every time somebody says that foolishness, it's the same thing. Well, ain't nobody perfect. And now you're giving yourself an excuse to not be better. Y'all get that? Please stop. Please. Look at me, y'all. Stop. Please. Don't say that foolishness no more. Come on. Amen, huh?
Amen.
Please. Don't stop. Give it up. Don't say that no more. Ain't nobody perfect. Stop, because herein is our love made perfect. The Bible talks about I received that the fivefold ministry gives for the perfecting of the saints. Why would he be trying to do something that you couldn't reach? You get it? But you can't reach it. Talking on two sides of my mouth. But it means the same thing. The Lord told me something about Jesus, and he said, I'm gonna teach you something about perfection. He said, it is not a good thing. Everybody wants to mature and grow and expand. It's not really a good thing to stay the same in a lot of aspects. Like sometimes you look at your money and be like, I don't want to stay the same like this. I want to, right? Or something like that, right? But the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I would say, well, normally it's not a connotation to stay the same. But then the Lord told me that Jesus Christ is watch this, he said, Jesus is growing and growth at the same time. That's what I'm saying. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? So he's growing and growth at the same time. So, I mean, he's fully grown but still growing at the same time. Hard for you to understand. You really can't understand unless the Holy Spirit give you interpretation, because the same way he was all God and all man at the same time. How can you be that? All God and all man at the same time. But that's you.
Yes, sir.
See, God is trying to show you something about yourself. Yes, there's a duality about God inside of you. You get it? And when that combination realizes each other, it becomes supernatural. That's why Jesus was walking around doing so many different things, because he realized he was a man. Jesus slept. Jesus got hungry. Jesus got nervous. Remember, he said, nevertheless, if you can't let this cup pass from me. Yeah, because tomorrow was the day they was coming to get him. But if you can, let the cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You realize you never heard God's voice in that? In that passage? You never heard a voice from heaven saying, no, you got to do it. No. Jesus was inside of himself,
yes,
dealing with what was going on,
yes,
kind of like what we do.
Right.
But remember, I said last week that it's not the lie that's your problem, but it's the unequal exposure to truth.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't know truth, then that lie becomes a truth to you.
Yes, sir.
Your consciousness. All right.
Yes, sir.
Then we're talking about the traditions of men that made the word of God in effect. Right?
Right.
Not that the word of God is not effective, but the traditions in your consciousness makes it ineffective to you.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Because now tradition becomes truth. Instead of the truth.
Yes,
so now whatever the word of God is doing, whatever Jesus is trying to do in you, he can't really do that. Not because he can't do it, because you won't let him.
Okay.
The Bible talks about us growing up into him in all things, being just like him, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Everything that we're doing, every time that we read the Bible, every time that we're studying, is growing us up into Jesus. So there's no room for tradition. It's all truth.
Yes,
you get it? So, but let me get back to perfection. Your perfection. Right? All right, we're not going to say that crazy no more, right? Ain't nobody,
right.
Ain't nobody perfect. Shut up. If I hear you say it
right.
somewhere,
right.
I might pluck you. Just, right here on your forehead or something, right? Calm down. Don't say that foolishness no more, all right? Because we're all pushing towards perfection. So you look at the word of perfection. You see the word, we define different ways, maturity, wholeness, purpose, right? And so we look at the word maturity. You have to, we're all maturing. We're all growing, but you have to break down the word of maturity and not use it in the normal common sense context, because maturity sometimes means stopping.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. I agree.
Till you think you've grown. You heard that say? You know, mom used to, boy, you think you're grown, ain't you? You think you're grown, right? You think you're grown, but that gives a connotation of stopping. No more expansion. No more growth. You get it? So watch this, I want you to put this down. Perfection and maturing is a process.
Yes, sir.
Perfection is a progress.
Yes, sir.
You all, the Bible talks about ever increasing, always learning. You're always moving forward. You always have a mindset. I said this last week. You always have a mindset. You never approach it like you've grown already. Because the moment that, listen, if you take maturity in the normal text of what we think it means in society right now, then that means the moment that you start maturing is the moment you start dying. Because you stopped. Because you're not moving no more. You know, we it's hard for us because our bodies mature. We become men and women and we reach the level of maturity. And so we let ourselves come to a place to where we think there's a stopping point. But there is no stopping point with God. So now perfection is a process.
Yes, sir.
Perfection is a progress. I even wrote down, you know, herein is our love made perfect, right? I even wrote it down, herein is our love made progressive.
Progressive.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Herein is our love made processed.
Processed.
Mm. It's a process.
Process.
And so maturity is a process. There should be ever expanding consciousness. Y'all understand that?
Yes, sir.
You can never, ever take, I've been reading scripture. How long you been in church? Yeah, your years out. Go ahead. Come on. Some of us just ever. Just when I woke up, I was at church. The day I got here, I was at church. I knew the church name before I knew my name, right? Right? Like, that's my story, right? And we learn a lot of scripture. We learn a lot of quotes and scriptures and prayers and different things of that nature. And we can do a scripture quote in a festival. We can just do it all day long, right? But you never get so familiar with it that it can't grow into it. Man, God showed me something the other day. I know I know the scripture. I done preached it to you. Right? And then he opened that thing up. He did just like this. He's just sitting there. And you're sitting there and you're hearing, I heard a message, and the guy and the guy didn't even say where the Lord took me. The guy was going another direction with the message, and then God, it was just like this. He did like this. Excuse me, can I borrow this? What's that? He did just like this. Like, just look, and he did like this. And lifted that thing open, and then I saw it. And it's the same thing I've been looking at the whole time, but it was like, he turned the page inside the page for me. That's the best way I can describe it, all right? He took the, I'm like a page. This is it. Got that side and that side, right? Y'all see me? You got this side and that side, and that's it. Ain't nothing. But it's like he took the page and like he unfolded it, and then like, you ever had your pages stuck together and you ain't know there's another page in between there, right? It was kind of like that. Like he split the page, then opened up and said, "There's some other stuff on the inside of here." There's some other. But let me teach you something. The Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved," right? You're not proving nothing to God. And you're not really proving anything anywhere else. You're approving yourself to receive more revelation. See, when you're studying, you approve yourself. You know, stamp of approval, right? You give yourself the green light, right? Thank you, Holy Ghost. I just heard that just now. I never heard that before. But when you study, show yourself approved. You are approving yourself to get more of God.
Wow, that's.
Are y'all understanding me?
Yes.
All right, so. So what happens, he take that thing and he open it up. And it's all about your approach, but it's not just about what you approach today. It's about your consistent approach to the word of God. Mm-hmm. It's why in his law does he meditate day and night, right? He said that for a reason. He didn't say every other whenever. Didn't say just when you need to preach a message or just when you need to get a word for that situation that you was dealing with. No. I'm doing it because I'm in love with the word and the word is in love with me. Truth of the matter is, I might be jumping ahead of myself. Truth of the matter is, you think you're reading the word, and the word is reading you.
Right. Wow. Right. Yes, sir.
You think you're getting something out the word when it's really just telling you who you already are.
Right.
Wow.
Yes,
sir.
But that make you read more, don't it?
Yeah.
That'll make you study. That'll make you spend a little bit more time with it, won't you?
Yes, sir.
You know, because it's one thing to go in there and try to get some revelation, but it's another thing to go in there and get you.
Yes, sir.
See that word gets to the point where it starts reading you. You reading it, and then you thinking, and all of a sudden it start reading you back. You start understanding stuff. It's like, hold on, where this come from? Right? It will start reading you. That's the process of it. John chapter 1, we'll go back there, and then we'll do a little bit of reading. For the sake of it, we read it last week, so I don't want to. Verse 13. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him. Now he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, gave him power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, you read it. Ready, read. And you see that big W, right? You remember we talked about that last week, right? All right. Read again. Ready, read. So now we see Jesus. That's Jesus right there, right? You don't need to say J-E-S-U-S for you to understand who he's talking about, right? The only begotten of the Father, only begotten Son. We know the only begotten Son. We done heard that before, right? Yes, and full of grace and truth. We know who that is, right?
Yes,
right? They say the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See, Jesus' life was very important because if there was no Jesus living as a man, this Word in the flesh, then we wouldn't have nowhere to go.
Right.
This would only be fairy tale. This would only be Superman. This would be comic books. If somebody ain't come down here and demonstrate it,
wow.
Come on, do your hands in the flesh. Now, the same way that Jesus did it for us, we ought to do it for others.
Right, I agree.
The same way that Jesus gave an example for us on how to live is the same. You know, your witnessing, you thought your witnessing was your little 1-2 punch. Do you know Jesus? Where you going to go when you die? Where you go to church? Y'all know how we ease up on people. Well, do you go to church? Who you go to church? Then you try to find somebody that's easy. Try somebody you think they might be. Right. And you don't want no confrontation. So, you know what I'm saying? You don't want, no. You don't want this. So you try to do your little talk, your little jargon, right? And God bless that. You know, but you do your little jargon. No. Your witness is really your lifestyle.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that Jesus met people need before he preached to them?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Yes. Before he forgave any sins, he met the needs.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
He stopped them people from killing that woman with them stones.
Yes, sir.
Then he said, go and don't sin no more.
Yes, sir.
He opened up the eyes first.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, go and don't sin no more. Are y'all understanding that?
Yes,
see, the process, see, we, they told Paul, man, there's a scripture in Acts, and he says, these are the men that Paul come to the city. They say, these are the men that turned the world upside down. That's how they described him. These are the ones that turned the world upside down. And I think our consciousness and the way that we understand the world and the way that we understand things need to be turned upside down. Need to be flipped over. Come on, everybody do your hand like you're flipping something over. Like your consciousness need to be flipped over. We're so caught up in the way that we've known it that we don't know anything.
Yes,
oh, watch this. Oh, Lord.
Yes,
we're so caught up in the way that we've known it that we don't know the way.
Wow. That's good, sir.
Thanks, Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Y'all acknowledge him when he say stuff to you, too. Like when you go in your own personal time, he's going to start telling you stuff.
Right.
It's, he'll speak to you like that. He'll speak to you in rhymes. And don't try to make nothing up. You know what I'm saying? Don't be up there trying to freestyle with Jesus. I'm not. That's what I'm saying. But he'll speak to you in a way that it'll make you remember.
Uh-huh.
Right? And when he do it, acknowledge him. Say, all right, Holy Ghost, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you showing me something that you never gratitude. Everybody say gratitude.
Gratitude.
Your life and the way that you function is going to be the witness for others.
Yes, sir.
The way that you function in the flesh.
How
you able to bring deliverance is going to be, how is the word in the flesh, not the word in your mouth.
Right.
Jesus talking about them, they talking like they close to me, but their heart far from me.
Right.
Oh, I'll give you another one. They say even the demons believe.
Right.
How do we set apart them?
Come on, sir.
Think about this for a minute. How long have you been on this earth? Just name age. I don't ask you how old you are no more. We don't talk like that no more. How long you been on this earth, right? All right, now that's how long you been here, right? The enemy been running around here for thousands and thousands and millions of years fooling people before you got here. How many scriptures you think he know? Well, yeah, he know that Bible.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
So he know all your little go-to punches before you got there. But he don't know Revelation.
Right.
He don't know fresh.
Right.
He don't know Rhema word.
Right.
Cause that's only given by the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
The only way he know that if you keep running your mouth and tell him.
Come on, sir. Come on, sir.
The way that you live is going to be your witness. So now the word has to be made flesh in you. It wasn't just for Jesus, it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You should be walking around here as the living word. Mm-hmm. That makes some people nervous sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I need you to get over that for a second.
Yes,
if you don't get over that in your conscience and your belief, then you'll never get over there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all understand me?
Yes,
Jesus is not, all right, I got to do it. Jesus, it's the moment that you stop, you ready for this? It's the moment that you stop believing that there's a God separated from the God in you. That's when the connection happens. All right. My hand, see it? It's connected to everything else about me. It is not a separate thing. Right? My hand is not a separate thing. Oh, come on, y'all got to get with me. Don't be religious right now. Everybody say no religion. Come on, no tradition. Come on, break your mind right quick. All right, y'all, we can skate. No, just listen to what I'm saying. It is not disconnected from me.
That's right.
It's connected, but it's not my brain.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
But it's connected in such a way when my brain says wiggle.
That's right.
They do it. You get it?
Yeah.
It is connected to me. So therefore, we do the same thing. Because of the connection. If my hand was cut off, it could not, because it wouldn't have the wires to be connected to catch the information, to catch the nerve to do what I needed it to do. It could not pick up the things because it wasn't connected. And we have a disconnected consciousness.
That's right.
We talked a little bit about that last week, I think, didn't we? A disconnected consciousness, and it happened in the beginning. When even the tree of knowledge of good and evil, now you have a disconnected consciousness. Now, your mind has the ability to think something other than what God has already wanted you to think. So now this is why we have a dilemma in your life and my life, anybody's life. Any dilemma that comes up, there's a disconnected consciousness. There is no lack with God. There is no sickness and disease with God. There is no shortcoming with God. So if any of those things show up in your life, there's a disconnected consciousness. There's somewhere along the line that somebody broke the line. Now, even if you go to the church, and even if you go to service, and even if you write your notes, and even if you come to ministry school, you can do all of those things and still have a disconnected consciousness. Because you believing in a God up there on the throne somewhere and not in you. The scripture said it is God was working well, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Greater is he that is in you. They say, where is the kingdom of God? Say, low here, low there. No, the kingdom of God is
in me.
So we got to, why can't God be up there and in here at the same time? Why? The enemy has fooled us. We've allowed religion and rhetoric and all these different things to fool us. So we it's the fact that we believe in a God that's separated from us. And so now you keep waiting for a handout instead of putting your hand out. Are y'all ready? Now you're waiting for somebody to give you something instead of you giving. Oh, man, come on, y'all. See, we work upside down. Come on, flip it over. Come on. Flip your, thank you, Holy Ghost. Flip your conscience. Y'all pulling me. I like y'all class. Y'all class, I'm here. I'm about to go back and listen to it myself, too. But you flip over the consciousness. You got to change your approach. See, we're not... We don't read the word to get to God, right? We read the word to give from God. Do y'all get that? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is.
Come on, sir.
It's already there.
It's already there.
Come on, say it's already there.
It's already there.
Come on, say I already got it.
Already
come on, say it again. I already got it.
Already
so now it changes my process when I'm reading this word now. Now I'm not reading to attain, but I'm reading to put it out somewhere so that somebody else can change.
Right. Right.
Let me teach you something about the Word of God. Can I teach you? You want revelation knowledge?
Yes, sir.
You really want a lot of revelation?
Yes,
come on. I can't hear you. Do you want revelation? Yes, if you really want a lot of revelation, stop making it all about you.
Yes, sir.
I said this in my last class, and I'll say it again. We tend to, and y'all, I say this with all reverence, all right? We tend to dehumanize God. All right, now y'all listen to what I'm saying. I know. Y'all understand. Y'all don't need to give me no scriptures about what you think. Y'all ain't got to give me none of that. I ain't talking no blasphemy or nothing. All right? So please stop quoting your scriptures in your mind to me. I'm the instructor. Listen. All right? But we tend to dehumanize them. You try to take human. You kind of unheart God.
Uh-huh. Come on, sir.
Are you devain God? Are you?
Come on, sir.
You get to the point to where you start thinking God ain't got no feelings.
That's right. Yeah. Come on.
And God ain't got no wants. God don't inspire to anything.
Come on, sir.
All right. So I mean, y'all got children. So there's a but just you need children to understand what I'm about to say next. But just how many of y'all got lives? All right, amen. Isn't there an ideal thing that you have as a goal? A certain set for your life?
Yeah.
You know, I just say children because, you know, God the Father, right? Like you have an idea of what you want them to be, how you want them to grow up, what type of success, even you and yourself, you have an idea. You have an idea, right? Of how you want things to be. And I don't know why we don't think that God doesn't have an idea. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord of hosts, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. God has a dream board. And he got it set up already. And he already got it set up the way he wanted it to be. We take that away from God. We think that God is just all who he is. By, he don't care, but he does. God loves you. Say it, God loves me.
God loves me.
Say it again, God loves me.
God loves
one
me.
More time, God loves me.
God loves
see, this
me.
Is the message that we need to preach. God loves all.
Yes, sir.
If we went with God loves you before you a sinner,
come on, sir.
Maybe we get more results. If we went in with the fact, you know what, I understand you got shortcomings, but God loves you. Now, I understand, you know, I'm one of four. I got three siblings. I'm the middle child. He said the middle child be the wild child. And it was right in this case. All right. They say, that, you know, you got everybody got the children and the one that give a little bit more trouble. The one you ain't going to leave at home by themselves because they're a little bit wilder than the rest of them. Right. Like you got them right. We understand God got children like that.
Right.
But that don't mean God don't love his children.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And so if they need a little bit more training, let them do a little bit more training. But God loves his children. Let me tell you. And I'm saying all this to say that we cannot. The reason that we don't get more revelation than what we do get is because we're trying to get stuff for ourselves.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's right, sir. Come on.
Anytime you involve somebody else, everything expands.
Everything.
Prove it to you. Feed the 5,000, right? Y'all remember that? Uh-huh. Remember that? The reason that happened because they had all them people out there that was hungry.
Right.
It wasn't just the disciples got together and said, you know what? We just about to break bread. You know, we want to multiply the bread. We just want extra bread around the house. So let's just break bread. No, it was for the
people.
It was for the people. If you ever want to get more revelation, you want this word to unfold, go in and see what he's saying about the people. Now, he'll say something about you for the people. Remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Second, like love your neighbor as you love yourself. But we don't realize that you love yourself and love your neighbor, sometimes they flip. Because sometimes you find out how to love yourself through loving your neighbor. You know, you never really realize the love of God till you've been unlovable.
That's right.
Yes. Or you never really realize how much God really loves you until you deal with an unlovable situation. We got this thing we live where we just want to be walking around here and we don't want no bumps in the road and we don't want no mean faces. As soon as somebody flips us the bird on the road, now we don't pray no prayers for them. We either throw it back or say this world going to hell. Come on, y'all. Come on. And but sometimes it's that show you love.
Yeah.
You know, I was the young boy, and I got to go here for a second. I was the young boy, you know, that had never been out the box before. You know, I've been around people that was always the little squeaky clean thing. So, you know, you get to, I don't know, why would they do that? Why would they talk that way? I don't understand how people can get caught up into this. You know, we judgmental. Y'all know, amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. We the best judges in the world, church people. We the best judges, condemners. You know, I tell them you don't need to be wearing that. Y'all know how we do, right? Amen, 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 amen. And I'm not saying, y'all know what I'm saying. How can they do that? But it wasn't until you got the box a little bit and you got a little dirt on your hands.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's right.
Yes, sir. And you get to looking around and like. Then you realize while you're looking at the dirt on your hand, you see you got some on your feet and on your knees. Then you look in the mirror, you realize you got a lot of dirt on you. Hold on. Hold up.
Come on, sir.
And it's not until in that moment, you remember in the beginning? You remember in the beginning? When they ate from that tree? You remember when they ate from that tree?
Yes, sir.
The next thing they did was they hid themselves, they covered themselves up and hid the thing that God made them to be. They covered themselves up with leaves, right?
Yes,
then they went and hid again. The first thing they did was hid like God wasn't going to see them.
Come on.
Like he wasn't going to find them. And so that's what we tend to do.
Right.
We go and hide. All right? And I get it. I understand. Me too. I get it. But it's nothing like when that light shows up. And along with that light, not only shows you yourself, but then it cleans you up at the same time.
Come on.
When else do you need a deep revelation than when you deep in the mud? If you deep in the mud, I need a deeper revelation. Hey, right, like when I'm trying to get you out the mud.
Right.
I need.
Come on, sir.
I'm not saying go get in the mud for a deep revelation, but I'm saying when you when you get in there, he got to get you out, get it out the mud.
Yes, sir.
All right. You know, it's amazing to me. I read that story and I'm just living by the book. You ready? Because you use your imagination. You see what the way the wind was blowing, what was going on, right? And we go to the story in Genesis and I realize, you know, they never said they were sorry.
Right.
I believe, I can't rewrite the Bible, so I'm not about to do it right now in my mind. But I can imagine just, God be gracious. He been gracious. A man that came out and like, look, God, listen. Come out the bush like, listen, we messed up. It's my fault, Jesus. Listen, it's my fault. God, I'm sorry. We ate from that tree. We know we just got a little anxious. I don't know. We ain't never been here before. You know that? I started doing. I ain't know how this worked, God. I just, you know what I'm saying? But you the one. So you the one. So you, right? They were just like.
They
just. And so I think that's where we get that ego from. And some of that understanding. Right, but it's not until that light come in and he begins to speak to you and talk to you in a place. Do you realize the word is really the word?
Right.
So you don't really know the power of the word. My son, thou art cleansed through the word. We don't really know that until we'd had to be cleaned.
Right.
Are you understanding that? See, you'll get deeper revelation out of the word when you're thinking about others and getting. You see what I'm talking about? Love yourself and love your neighbor.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes you learn how to love yourself through loving your neighbor.
Yes, sir.
Y'all get that? We bring that together, right?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you get you. First of all, how you love yourself anyway? How you figure it out? What's the process? You look in the mirror, look yourself. I love you. No, come on. How do you end up? Think about the process of loving yourself.
Right.
Come on. Well, first of all, we have to have a connotation and realization that myself ain't by myself.
Right.
All right. I gotta get a definition. I gotta get an example. We talking about this day, Joe. All right. So, we sitting in the me and you riding the car. Right. Y'all ready? I can hear y'all. Ready?
Yes,
all right, we ride in the car, and I got a pound of cocaine, a couple bricks or whatever. And the police pull us over. Who going to jail? No. Us going to jail. I know that's. Listen. Now hold up. Hold up. That's good. I'm glad y'all did that. That's good thinking because that's the way we think. We have a real individualistic mindset about things. All right, listen to me well, all right? Hello, you going to jail? Yeah, you and you. Yeah, you come with me, hold a hand, let's go. Put the cuffs on both of us. They're going to take both of them.
That's right.
All right, you listen to me.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the car, and I'm driving. You ride with me, and I'm slap drunk. Can't see nothing, but I'm driving. Who got the possibility of dying?
Both.
All right, y'all know us now. You, boy, you in the car, so I don't care if you got the seatbelt on or not. Right? Because we in the car how? Together.
Yeah.
And the thing about us and humankind is that we forget that we are all in this thing together. We forget that we are on this vehicle called earth, in this thing called life. How? Leave. Come on, go find you another planet. You can't. This is what we got. Ain't no life nowhere else. This is the one you're going to live on. And you got to live on the planet with me. This is why racism is a problem.
Right.
Because you got to realize we're here together. Get over it. But the church, you know, the church is racist too.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're morally racist.
Right.
Y'all realize, all right, I'm coming. Listen. But it's still all in there. Listen. Y'all realize that the biggest issue, living by the book. Everybody's living by the book. When you live by the book, you're going to, it's living by Jesus. Jesus is the book. Listen, you're going to start seeing him. So we're going to go through the Gospels and read it, and y'all going to love. See, Jesus dealt with all political, racial, women's rights, men's rights, gender issues. He dealt with all of them.
Yeah.
You realize that the real problem was racism back then?
Yeah.
Because the Jews were God's chosen people,
uh-huh.
And anybody that wasn't a Jew couldn't go.
Right.
But then Jesus started coming in and started saying, no, for the Jew and the Gentile.
Yeah.
This is for everybody. I'm about to pay this price for everybody. Well, that was a racial thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about literal DNA. I'm not talking about you go to church and you don't go to church. I'm talking about you were born in a certain nationality.
Yeah.
It was a racial thing Jesus was dealing with. And that thing has trickled down into the church now because we still think it's us versus them.
Come on.
We still think that Jesus said, Father, forgive them. The last thing he said, Father, forgive them. One of the last things he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Well, it wasn't because he was killing, because he knew he had to die.
Right.
But he was saying, they don't even know that by killing me, they're killing themselves. So I got to get up so they can get up.
Right, yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
I just got that one just now. Thank you, Lord. Right?
Thank you,
Lord. They didn't know by murdering me, that's why thou shalt not kill.
Come on, sir.
That's what thou shalt not steal. Because you don't, see, there's 7 billion people in the world, so you think it ain't affecting you when something happened over there, but it is.
It is.
Called the butterfly effect. You ever seen this story about the butterfly?
Yeah.
There's an old thing called the butterfly where something happened way over there and ended up trickling down and then widening out over to where it affect you. And you don't even know it. See, we have this conscience that we're in this thing together. So am I in this thing with the murderers? Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Get over yourself. You know, you a couple steps away from being one of them.
That's right.
That you call over there.
That's right.
Ephesians 2 talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Don't get too high and don't think not too long ago you was without a God.
Right.
What's your rage line? What's your rage line? What's your rage line to where you get raged so much you black out and off somebody?
Right.
We all need the grace of God.
That's right.
We all need the love of God.
That's right.
We all need the mercy of God,
right.
Don't we?
Yeah.
So we have no time to really be downplaying other humankind.
That's right.
Right? Right is right and wrong is wrong. Understand that we don't take nothing back from that. I heard somebody say that Jesus was able to walk in full grace without compromise. This is what the word of God does to you. You don't have to compromise. Sin is sin. So we understand that. But how do you deal with sin? With love. That sin is a consciousness that they have that needs to be changed. The only way to change is if you reach it. We have a fear complex.
Yeah.
So we don't want to reach out because we're scared the dirt going to get on us. You don't realize you're bringing the cleaning with you.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Right. Yes, sir.
Come on.
Why do we think this way?
That is my truth.
See, this word is going to change the way you function.
Because
it's about others.
Uh-huh.
It's about others. John 15:7, I got to go there real quick before I go to this next thing I'm going to show y'all. And it's going to blow your mind a little bit. But John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will. And I didn't see this until I was looking for it right before class. It says, ask what you will, right? And it says, and it shall be done unto you.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Right.
And y'all heard the scripture before, huh?
Uh-huh.
So you thought you abide in the word abide in you, ask what you want, and you're going to get what you want, huh?
Yeah.
You would just say, right? No, stop. He said, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Uh-huh. Come on.
I'm going to let it breathe for a minute. Let's see if it hits you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. All right, let me take the un off. Ask what you will and it's going to be done to you.
Yep, I see it.
That means something's going to be done to you. Uh-huh. That means that word,
yep.
Right? If you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you ask what you will. Now, your will that you ask is going to be according to that word that's abiding in you.
Yeah.
You can stop asking amiss, like the Bible said. Ask for all these things, and it's going to be done to you. Not given to you, it's going to be done to you. There's going to be change in you.
Yeah.
The word of God, the abiding word on the inside of you, you being connected to Christ and Christ being in you, will change everything about you into the real you. This word, living by the book, huh?
Yeah.
See, when it comes in and it's really abiding and you're abiding in it,
yeah.
It does something unto you.
Yes, sir.
See, your questions start, you start asking different.
Uh-huh.
See, you've been praying for stuff and stuff ain't been coming because nobody told you to pray for stuff. Who told you that?
Told
you. Yeah, what he told me, Matthew 6. It's Jesus talking again, right? He said, "Seek ye first kingdom of God and righteousness and all these things will be added." He said, "I know you have need of all these things because the Gentiles seek them." So I know all that already. So can you stop? Would you please stop asking me?
Right.
I can imagine the phone service in heaven be like, "Listen." And so now I just put you on hold.
Oh!
You got the answer at the house, or they don't put you on hold. So hold on. Time out.
Who
really got you on hold? Because you don't want to keep calling with that up.
Wow.
You done put yourself on. Do you mind if I put you on hold for a minute? You got a choice right there.
Right.
Do you mind? Hey, can I put you on hold for a minute? You could be like, "No, I don't want to be on hold."
Right.
Not gonna do that to nobody tomorrow, no. But right? But you know, you put yourself on. Everything that's on hold in your life, you put it on there. Because it's already at the house. You ready?
Uh-oh.
It's already at the house. All right, your body's a temple. Why do we go so religious? Well, you need to keep your body and keep. No. He's trying to tell you it's a temple of God. God lives on the inside of you. You.
You the temple.
It's already in there.
It's already in there.
The same spirit that raised Jesus in this scripture. The same spirit that raised Jesus dead dwells well on the inside. Why are we walking around with all this power without no power?
Come on.
So what the word does, Joe, you listen to me? What the word does, see, we done picked up some kind of consciousness over the years. Whether they got from grandma and them or mom and them or whatever, or just me being outside of my feelings that got hurt, or something else happened over here, I had a bad experience, or whatever. So now I picked up this consciousness that's against the consciousness of God. It doesn't agree with the consciousness of God. So now what the word of God does it to you.
Come on, sir.
That's a different ball game when the word of God do it to you.
Uh-huh.
And begins to convert you and change you.
Yeah.
All right, now this is one of y'all favorites. Real quick, and I just got to share this because go to Psalm 23.
Oh.
And what time is class in, Darius? 9:25. Haha, 8 minutes ago. We're going to knock it out right quick. 23 Psalm. How many of y'all know 23 Psalm without reading it? How many of y'all know it? Come on. And some of y'all say, "Wow." Y'all better get ready, because we're going to be quoting some stuff in this class. And I'm going word for word. I don't miss no pauses or nothing. I want everything. Right? I lead it out. Somebody say, "I don't know what it is. Lord is my shepherd." All right, now you ready to go. Just start it off for me, right? As I'm going to read through it once, and I'm going to read back again. I'm going to show you what it really means. "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He made me to lie down in green pastures. He leaded me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leaded me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, if you approach this scripture, I had a young man minister at this event I was last week, and he was ministering this scripture. He did a good message, and there's a really good message on there. I say this, Jesus always got something up his sleeve.
Right.
Just when you thought you knew what he was talking about, he shakes something else out of that thing and be like, "Nah, this was really up in there." He does it all the time, all right? And so the guy was preaching, he preached a good message, and I wrote down a couple things, but he took it on a trail, and then God struck me in my heart, boom, and took me on a trail further than the trail that he was going on. And God bless what he was ministering on. But he took me on a trail further than what he was going on, took me somewhere that I didn't even know was there. So he took me to scripture. So God told me, so I learned something out of this, because you cannot approach the scriptures just thinking all about you. If you ever want the word of God to unfold for you, make sure you're thinking about others. Make sure you're thinking about the grand mission. That's Jesus. Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. I want to do what my Father tells me to do. As I hear, I judge. I want to do my, if I bear witness of myself, then my witness is not true. Jesus said that. He said, if I do something because I want to do it and not because the Father want to do it, then what I'm doing is fake. Right. This is the Savior. Yeah. He's trying to make a point.
Right.
And God's ultimate perfected goal is for the people, for all men to come under him. For all men. See, God's goal is for all men to realize how much he loves them and then turn towards him.
Yes.
Is that not the truth?
Yes, sir.
You know, if you didn't know that, now you know.
Right.
You know, you're in ministry school for the wrong thing if that ain't the goal. That's his point.
Right.
His point is not for you to establish a building or a kingdom somewhere separate from these people so they can't be reached. All right, I'm going to show it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thank God for that.
God for that.
Right there in the context, he's my shepherd. He's my lead. He's my God, all right?
Right.
So I mean, he's going to lead me somewhere, and I shall not want. That means I don't want nothing, right?
Right.
He makes me, not asked me, not suggested. He made me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures give the connotation of prosperity, of increase, of everything flourishing. So now, not only I wasn't asking to go into green, he made me.
Come on.
This is what you're supposed to be.
Right.
He leading me beside the
still
waters, peace. Because you know there's some rough waters in some places. It leaves us, all right. Then he says, well, he restored my soul. And in restoration, you ever seen anybody restore an old car, right? Right. They bring it back to what it was before. They change all the old stuff, all old rusted, and bring it back to its original state. Restore my soul. All right, you ready? He restored my soul. He leaded me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now remember, whenever you see name, it's not your last name like Thompson or however your last name is. The name is really your character.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So now he leaded me in the paths of righteousness, of right standing, of being in right standing with God, of my rights with God. He leads me in the path of right standing with God for his character's sake. In other words, he leads me there so that my character can be his. So I can be like him. So I can look like him, walk like him, represent like him.
Uh-huh.
Are y'all understanding me? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together on this?
Yes, sir.
That's verse 3, right?
Yes.
What's verse 4 says? It seems like it take a wild turn. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil, for thou art with me. Well, now is, you know, we get to quoting because we take it so personal. We start thinking about our trials and our tribulations,
right,
and what we going through. So now, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm going through a trial, you missed the point. Even though I'm going through a trial, he gonna take. What the next part say? I feel no evil. I ride and I stab. You know, ride and stab. What the shepherd used to have to beat the wild animals off, right? Right. Then what say next? Thou prepares a table for me in the presence of my, look at y'all enemies. He gonna take care of me right in the middle of y'all.
Uh-huh.
That's how we think.
Right.
He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Use your imagination.
Come on.
So now use your imagination. You ready? You're at a table. I don't know who else sitting at that table, but I know I'm at a table. He prepared me a table. So my table got everything I need on it, right? And all my enemies are all around. Y'all see them? Oh, y'all use your imagination, right? Do I need to make you close your eyes, or can you see with your eyes open? All right, So they all around. You ready? Prepare the table. So the next thing he says, what's the next thing he said? I need to prepare the table in the presence of my enemies. So he anoints me. Uh-oh. So I'm sitting at the table. Enemies all around, and everything that I need is on the table. Everything I need is on the table. And I'm already seated at the table. Right? So I don't need nothing. So what the anointing came for? You catching it now, right? The anointing. So he anointed my head with oil. What the anointing do? What we call the anointing? The burden removing. So the anointing ain't showing up unless they got some burdens to be removed. Then some of your oil. And then the next part he says, what's the next thing he said? My cup runneth over. What I need overflow for? In this particular time, in this particular place that you led me into.
Wow.
Remember, I didn't stumble over in here and just made a mistake and got over in a dark place where my enemies at. He walked me in there.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Then because he's going to get with you, he's still with you.
Yeah.
Then your cup runs over. Now, if something runs over and there's nothing there to catch it, it becomes waste. You know, like you wasted something, you ever poured something too much and you waste it? If there's nothing or nobody there to catch it or no reason for them to catch it, then it becomes waste. But God is not a God of waste. So he's anointing my head with all, and he runs my cup over at this table that's got everything that I need with all enemies around. Well, I wonder what the overflow is for. Well, I wonder what the anointing that you put on my head was for. Because I got everything I need, and you already told me you protected me. So the anointing ain't my protection.
Yes, sir.
That ain't come for me. So now when it got here, that overflow is to turn my enemy into my friend. Yeah. Wow. Is to turn it, ain't that God's goal?
Yeah.
See, here we, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, right? So here's what we think. We're going to take their money, and because we holy, we take their money. Well, come on. All right. You ready? You can have, that's why he told Peter, I'm going to make you fishers of men, right? I got to go through all this, man. I ain't got no time. I can get the $50 you got in your pocket right now. But not have you.
Right.
So I'm just stuck with the 50.
Right.
But if I ever get you, I got every 50 that ever touch your pocket.
Right. Wow.
That's why he said giving should be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shake the everyone over shell.
Me. Okay.
Yeah, and money can't move without a man.
Right. That's right.
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 Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
So really what he wants to do is convert your enemies into allies. But it happens at the overflow at your table. It happens with that anointing that's poured on your head. Right? Now we, ladies and gentlemen, had just lived by the book. Because you thought you knew that, huh?
Yeah.
And now you're trying to get out the valley when you should have been in there bringing people out. Listen to me. Right, I'm gone. I ain't getting in trouble. Listen. Stop approaching this word just for what you're trying to get. What you're going to get, you're going to get it. Seek the kingdom. He didn't even say find. He just said seek it. Seek the kingdom. And you're going to get all that other stuff. You get it? Then your portrait is going to open up for you. So now when it opens, see, you don't need no overflow if you ain't got nothing to pass it out to.
Right.
What you need extra for? You ain't going to do nothing but become a greed and a glut.
Come on, sir.
That's
true. Come on, sir.
But when the people are involved,
yes, sir.
You want your cup to run over?
Right.
I can't hear you. You want your cup to run over?
Yes.
Yeah, involved. Where's the people at?
Where the people at?
Where the people at? Where the people at?